This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Joining us right now, as he does every Friday on the show, it's our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. They have what you need to live the game. In stock now, you can find the latest in all golf clubs, apparel, shoes, bags, and more at Golfdom and Tyson's or at GolfdomGolf.com and tell them the Junkie sent you. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How's everybody?
All right.
You're doing well.
Glad to hear it. This is one of those days when I walked out the door this morning to go get the newspaper, I thought, God, this is a perfect day for golf.
Yep.
Then I bent over to pick up the newspaper and said, don't think so.
Yeah, back hurt.
Yeah, I've got a lot of back issues, unfortunately.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Are you a big stretching guy?
I was never a stretcher. When I swam, I mean, including swimming as an adult, I never stretched. I mean, maybe I have to take it up because I would just jump in the pool and do a warm-up and start my workout. I was never a stretcher.
I'm with you. I think I'm fundamentally opposed to stretching before any sort of exercise. I'm sure it'll come back to haunt me at some point.
You got to do it.
Well, you're bringing up golf, and almost no one's paying attention. Do you pay any attention to President's Cup? I've only lost once.
When does it start?
Yeah. Yeah, so you're not. Okay.
That's how much attention I pay. I read one of the dumbest leads ever because I troll the sports websites to see what's going on. And yesterday afternoon, I saw a headline that said, you know, U.S. takes big lead in President's Cup. And I went, oh, okay, let's find out what happened. And the first paragraph said, the international team trailed the U.S. 4-1. But it could have been much, much worse. How much worse can you be than 4-1? 5-0, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, pretty bad.
That's the list. I don't know what people think sometimes. And where are their editors?
So if they clinch this on Saturday, let's just say they get to 15.5. I think it's 15.5 you have to get to win it.
Yeah.
And they have the 12 singles match. Do they play it out?
I think there's 34 points now. Aren't there, Jason?
I
thought they extended it to 34 points, but again, it shows you how much attention I pay.
Well, they do have the extra day, whatever it is.
The extra day.
Let's just say they clinch it on.
They clinch on Saturday, right?
Do they play it out on the singles on
Sunday? Oh yeah, you've got that huge TV window on Sunday.
Oh my god,
you got to play it out. And to be fair, the Ryder Cup does the same thing. You know, once the matches are clinched, they keep playing. And one of the great moments I saw in Ryder Cup history was 99 at the country club when the U.S. rallied to win.
Yep.
The last match, after Justin Leonard made the long putt at 17 to clinch the cup, Payne Stewart and Colin Montgomery were playing in the last singles match. And I had been walking with that match all day because I thought it was going to end up deciding. And the way Montgomery was treated by the U.S. fans was horrible. I mean, Payne had several thrown out because they were so awful. And they got to the 18th green, and they were even. And Payne missed the green and chipped up to about 6 feet for par. And Montgomery had a 25-foot birdie putt, and Payne walked across the green and said, pick it up.
Oh.
And gave him the putt and gave him the match. Because what he said to me later, my last conversation with him was, we'd won. That's all I really cared about was we won. And after what Colin went through all day, no way I was making him putt that. It was one of the great class acts I've seen in sports. And 6 weeks later, Payne got killed.
It is 15 and a half, by the way. First team to 15 and a half.
Okay, so they went back to 32. Okay.
So
Call me, Jason, when the U.S. gets to 15 and a half, all right? Because otherwise I won't know.
It's going to be soon, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it will be.
All right, John. John's a Mets fan, right? You're a Mets guy?
I am a Mets fan, yeah.
So are you, I mean, do you get any sort of pleasure in watching what Judge is doing? Like, what do you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a column in today's paper about it, which says that when Judge hits his 62nd home run, which if they'll pitch to him, he will, that's the all-time single-season record, as far as I'm concerned, because Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa are all tainted. They're all tainted by steroids, among others, Roger Clemens and Rafael Palmeiro and others. And so to me, the all-time single-season record is still Roger Maris, and the all-time career record is Henry Aaron. And I mean, he's a pleasure to watch. I mean, he's a great player. He's a good outfielder, too. Yes, absolutely. I've been watching every chance I get. I stayed up and watched his first couple of at-bats last night. And DVR'd it in case he hit it. I'm a Mets fan, but I'm a baseball fan.
So
and he if you're hit a baseball one to the, fan, you're enjoying this.
He hit one to dead center to the warning track
just
last
barely
night.
Missed
just
it.
Barely missed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I saw that on replay. Pujols did the same thing, going for his first 700. He's at 698, hit one to the warning track yesterday. So I would love to see Pujols get 700, and I would love to see Judge get to 62 or more.
If Pujols is at 699, he already said he's not coming back. This is it.
Right.
Does he come back next year to get to 700?
You know, I don't know the guy well enough to really say. He says he's not.
Yeah.
It is a round number, and we're all a little obsessed with round numbers, and those of us who follow sports. My guess, based on what he said and others have said about him, is he'll know that number is an historic number, whether it's 699 or 700. And I'm very glad he went past Alex Rodriguez because his numbers are fraudulent too. And as far as I'm concerned, he's third on the all-time list. Aaron, Ruth, Pujols. So I honestly don't know. There would almost be something. You know, suppose he comes back, and then he goes the month of April and doesn't hit the home run.
Yep.
That would be sad to watch. But again, I always say this. It's his legacy. It was Willie Mays' legacy. It was Johnny Unitas, Joe Namath's legacy, Michael Jordan's legacy, all these guys who came back when they were, you know, well past their prime and played. It was up to them, not up to us.
So if you had an MVP vote, would you vote for Judge or Ohtani?
Boy, I've said all year it's got to be Ohtani.
Right.
Because you know, the pitching numbers are excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's ever done this, including Babe Ruth. Remember, when Babe Ruth was a pitcher, he was a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became such a good hitter, they made him a full-time hitter. So nobody's ever done this. But on the other hand, if Judge wins the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a team that wins its division. By the way, Aaron Boone's been in the playoffs every year he's been the Yankees manager, just for the record.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wins a Triple Crown, I think it's awfully hard not to give it to him.
Co-MVP? Has that ever happened? Did that happen one year, I feel like?
Yes. I think it was Willie Stargell and Keith Hernandez.
Yeah.
I want to say 1979.
I thought Eddie Murray was a co-MVP one year.
Was he really?
I don't know. I could be making that up.
Yeah, you could be. I don't remember it, but I remember
right,
Hernandez
though.
And Stargell.
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember 1979 for some reason.
Yeah, I remember it because I'm old.
Could that happen? It could possibly happen, right?
Well, it could happen.
Judge is the overwhelming favorite.
Well, and I felt that all season because of the whole New York thing.
Yeah.
And because, you know, he's on national TV every other day or almost every day, and Ohtani's playing on the West Coast for a bad team that Judge is going to win. I agree with you, Jason.
Just to clarify, Eddie Murray never won the MVP.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He finished top 10 and never won.
Oh, it's Cook, he's a great player, Hall of Fame player, for goodness sake.
We saw him last night. We met him. We were at Cal Ripken's charity event.
I was in the car yesterday because I got my oil changed. I have such a glamorous life. And I heard you say you guys were doing that event last night. How did it go?
It was awesome.
It was awesome. It was, let's see, Murray was there, obviously Cal, Brady Anderson, Larry Sheets.
BJ Surhoff.
Billy Hurley. I talked to Billy Hurley for a good
time. One of the great guys.
He's a good dude.
One of the great guys. I was
he just moved to Charleston, South Carolina, by the way. I was jealous.
Really?
I'm jealous.
I'm very jealous.
Oh, yeah, Charleston's great. I showed up at a tournament one day, and I happened to be wearing an Army shirt. Mm-hmm. I got Army stuff, and I got Navy stuff, but I was wearing an Army shirt that day, and the first guy I see, of course, is Billy Hurley. Mm-hmm. He goes, "What the hell is that?" And I said, "I'm really sorry. I'll wear a Navy shirt tomorrow." Fortunately, I had a Navy shirt with me on the trip, too, so I did.
Hey, real quick, we were going to bring this up earlier, but I just got to get your take on it. So the Celtics suspended Ime Udoka for the entire year for, I don't know what.
I feel like it's
conduct. I don't know how they actually
conduct
it.
Unbecoming.
Unbecoming, yeah. So
now the story's shifting because originally they said it was a consensual thing.
Right.
Now they're saying the woman is claiming he made some unwanted comments. Now my opinion is changing.
All right,
but if you just have an affair with someone, which I understand you're not supposed to in the office or whatever, but that happens everywhere. To suspend it for a year seemed crazy.
Yeah, what's
to
your
me.
Thought on that?
My thought is that what Eric's bringing up is important, that we just don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for any of us on the outside to pass judgments when we don't have all the facts. Now, Brad Stevens is a pretty smart guy, and I don't see him as someone who would panic over something. Now, I mean, the owners, Wick Grosbeck and Steve Pagliuca, may be involved in this. They probably are. But I just don't feel like we know enough. I mean, the guy obviously did a hell of a job last year getting them to the finals, so it's not a question of his coaching ability. But the other thing, and Tony Kornheiser brought this up last night on their show, is if he did something that was so wrong that he gets suspended for a year, why isn't he fired?
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's like the same thing with Robert Sarver. You know, and the same thing with Dan Snyder, you know, with these wrist slaps. Now, a one-year suspension for a coach is more than a wrist slap, but it sounds like they believe, at least at the moment, that he did something really bad. Well, if he did something really bad, then he probably should be fired.
I want to ask you about the Favre thing, and I don't know how much you followed it. I admittedly have followed it not at all.
Yeah.
But the way I initially sort of read it was Brett's negotiating with the former governor or whoever the hell it was.
Who was former governor, right?
Yeah, and they're going to take some money, right, from the welfare kids or whatever. But was Favre legitimately aware of that, or was he literally just trying to get money from an ex-politician to pay for his kids' volleyball?
That's another one I don't know the answer to. And it is confusing. And the IRS says he's got to pay money back. So usually the IRS, when they come after you for money, they have a legit reason. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound good. Let's put it that way. And the fact that the governor was involved, and you know, from what I've read, and again, I'm like you, Eric, I have not paid that much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've read, it sounds like Brett was using being Brett Favre to get this money.
Right, which he probably does all the time, but. If he
does all the time and breaks the law?
Well, now I'm not saying, you should never do that. But did he know that the guy was, like, siphoning money that was designated for, like,
welfare kids? Again, this is a guess, nothing more. I'm guessing that he knows that the money wasn't designated for a lacrosse field.
Right, for, like, a volleyball stadium.
Court. Yeah. Right.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, it sounds like
it wasn't earmarked for that specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There might be a few more important things to do with the money.
Yeah. All right, John, we will talk to you next week. Good stuff as always. Enjoy the weekend.
Have a great weekend, guys. Yep. Take care.
This is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. They have what you need to live the game. In stock now, you can find the latest in all golf clubs, apparel, shoes, bags, and more at Golfdom in Tyson's Corner or golfdomgolf.com. And tell them the Junkie sent you. Golfdom, live the game. Coming up next, joining us in studio, you might know him from Anchorman or The Office, David Koechner, actor, comedian, performing at Arlington Cinema and Drafthouse. He'll join us in studio here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to catch us on TV and join us in studio right now. He's going to be at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House this weekend. It's actor, comedian David Koechner. Couldn't be nicer.
Yeah, nice.
Good morning.
Basically a cameo for EB's son.
Yeah, Stevie will be so excited. So excited. Thank you so much. And he said, listen, I get it. Everywhere you go, right?
Yes.
All the time.
Yep. Grateful. Grateful. The Office people. I mean, it's such an interesting phenomenon. That's the only way I can describe it. It's a phenomenon. It's past. It's not a cult. I mean, there's, you know, because there's no leader.
Right.
That's what I should do.
And it's too mainstream to be a cult. Like,
right.
Like cult following, you think, okay, small niche thing. But The Office, right. I mean, so super mainstream, and so many people have consumed the content over the years and are still consuming it.
What other show, other than maybe Seinfeld?
Not like this.
Just watch over and over and over and over and over.
Right, I agree, but not like this. This one
this
has
even more than that.
It seems to have a different level of passion. Like, it means something on a different level, and I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Right.
What I do know is that but I don't know if Seinfeld has an audience from the age of 12 to 50.
Right.
You know, it's really, it's
yeah, it's an older thing. Seinfeld
which is fine. It's not about that. But those jokes are more sophisticated, too.
Right.
But this one, I think, here's the way I look at it. So you've got more characters. So you got 4 main characters in Seinfeld.
Right.
Well, this one has, you could argue, like 12 main characters.
Right.
So it gives kids, young people, an opportunity to pick one, like, I know a personality like that, or that matches my personality.
Right.
So you go, okay, how do I get along in life? Maybe watching this person. Or the first time they realize, like, oh, adult humor. I'm finally getting adult humor. Then they get a little bit older, like, I like this show because adults are stupid. Then they get a little bit older, and they think, well, adults aren't that intimidating. By the time they're in college, like, the workforce won't be that hard because these people are idiots, and they seem to keep going to work every day. And then when they get out of the college and into the workforce, they're like, yep, everybody's an idiot, and I'm part of it.
So you are correct. Everyone, yeah. I say 85% of the planet's stupid.
Right.
Yeah. It might be higher than that.
Right. Yeah. And you can't start teaching your kids that. You
right.
can't go, son, sit down.
Yeah.
Your dad's here to tell you everyone's dumb. Because then your kid's going to go, I don't have to try. Like,
right.
No, yes, you do. I'm just telling you, if you try this much, you're going to win.
They'll realize
and
it.
And now you've parlayed it into your stand-up, where you do like 2 or 3 stand-up gigs. And if people want tickets, go to ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. You do a separate show that's office trivia.
Yes, we've added that this year. We started doing an office trivia show with the real Todd Packer. And I'll tell you, the level of energy is really different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different vibration with these folks coming in, because it's like they're going to, it's like they're going to their own church service.
Yeah. So are you Todd Packer, like, from the second they walk in? Or
from the second we walk in. Now, then I become David Koechner.
Right.
Because I am, just so you listen, folks, I play Todd Packer, who's an awful human being.
Right.
I, David Koechner, am not an awful human being. I've got 5 kids. 3 of them are daughters.
Wow.
I love my daughters. I love humans. I'm grateful.
Are your kids Office fans?
Not like Office fans.
Right.
They've seen it. They've seen it.
Plus your dad.
Right.
It's not
I wonder
special.
If there might be I wonder if they might be more interested if I wasn't in it. But because I'm in it, maybe they go, okay, that's just another. I will say this. They don't watch everything I'm in. Sometimes to my chagrin. I've been on TV shows. I'm like, hey, it's Tuesday night. Who's watching Dad? Dad, I'm watching Dexter.
I'm putting you on the spot here. But,
yeah.
And if you don't want to talk about it, it's fine. The actors on the show.
Yes.
who would we not like off air?
I'm not going to say that.
Well, I would, but no, everyone's really actually a pretty wonderful person.
Really?
Yeah, especially in comedies. In comedies, everyone's
all good people.
Well, I mean, of course there's people I wouldn't necessarily want to hang out with, but that's fine.
Did you guys all get along, like when the filming?
But I'm not in that show that much.
Yeah.
So I wasn't there day to day.
Right.
Mm. So, you know, to me, I just happen to have a character that's very memorable.
Right.
But I'm not there. You're so disappointed. I didn't give you a name.
You know what? You can tell me off.
But there's nobody I've had a bad enough interaction to not have dinner with.
Yeah. Well, years ago, we met several members of the cast. Didn't you flirt with one of them?
Yeah, Melora Hart.
Melora Hart, yeah.
Yeah.
I did a movie with Melora. She's wonderful.
She was digging me. I'm not going to lie.
Who wouldn't? I'm digging you. I'll tell you what. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I'm having a very hard time resisting you.
Move over here.
Move over. Off your lap? Okay.
Off my lap. Yeah, but who was the one actor who didn't like me because he was uncomfortable with the way I was
acting? It was one of those guys. It was the
Creed.
Older guy.
Creed.
Yeah, he didn't like me.
Why?
He didn't like that you were being so flirtatious, I think
it's because I wasn't paying any attention to him.
That could be.
Oh, so you're telling me that someone from Hollywood has an ego and needs attention?
Slightly, yeah.
I don't believe it.
Ah, that's funny.
But no, everyone's cool, especially, by and large, if you're doing a comedy, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Now, everyone has a long work day, and then you get to know your workmates every day and their proclivities. And for me, every day I'm in show business, man, I am grateful. Because apparently it's not that easy to keep a job in show business.
When did it start for you that you thought you might want to get into it?
Very early. Actually, when I was 13, I was watching Saturday Night Live, the original, 1975. And it's the same year I saw Mighty Python and the Holy Grail for the first time.
Great
and
movie.
I could not understand how comedy should be so revelatory and so amazing. And so I was like, wow, that's what I want to do. But I'm from a very small town in Missouri. So you don't tell anyone. Because small towns like to crap on dreams, right? So you just hold this dream. And this is before the internet. You don't have an idea of like, how does one go do that?
Where is Tipton, Missouri?
You're kidding, right? Of course. No. It's dead center of the state. So you've seen the show Ozark?
Sure.
Tipton's about 40 miles north of there.
Okay.
Right. So that's where it is.
So when people come up to you, is The Office the number one thing? Because your career is remarkable.
It goes back and forth. Office Anchorman.
Anchorman.
Yeah, those I'm grateful. Like, I've got two.
Sure.
Come on.
Now, I've also seen you in something that I don't believe anybody else in this room has, and it's a guilty pleasure of mine. You were one of the stars of Final Destination 5.
Nice, right?
5.
Final Destination 5. Now, I saw that in the theater by myself. It was in 3D, too. I felt like a big loser, but I remember.
No, it was packed. The theater was packed. That's a good movie. It's a fun movie. A lot of people think it's one of the best of the whole franchise. Here's the thing. Why would I turn down? You get to die twice.
Sure.
You die twice.
Hey, you know what? People laugh about it. The budget for that movie was $40 million.
Oh, yeah.
It made $190 million.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
big
the
movie.
People are making them.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of that's my money. I gave part of my money.
Were you legitimately the only guy in the theater?
There were No.
Because we go sometimes for lunch movies.
I went during the afternoon. It was sparsely attended.
You enjoyed the film.
I did enjoy it. Look, I enjoyed all the Final Destinations.
Yes,
pleasure.
There's passion for those films.
There is.
Why not?
It's weird.
Yeah.
But
a film like that makes you, come to terms with your own mortality.
Yeah.
So there's reasons for every film. The reason people like it or they don't.
Right.
There's stuff I've done that I wouldn't necessarily watch, but I mean, it's part of my job.
Right.
When you're in a movie, and by the way, when you look at his filmography, it's literally remarkable. It's
Thank
remarkable.
You. You're my favorite, by the way.
Thank you.
I just want you to talk smack about somebody.
But Jason, hold on. When you go, he's Dukes of Hazzard, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Anchorman, Man on the Moon. Anything you could think of, the guy's been in. Do you go and see everything in the theater?
No.
No.
If there's a premiere, yeah.
If they invite you to the premiere.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But if you're not invited to the premiere, you don't feel I want to see how that...
And those are fewer these days, right? Premieres, just because of everything that's gone down. But, I usually will watch it one way or the other.
Is it still a thrill for you to see yourself in there, or not as much?
Well, it's less anxiety-inducing, right? Because at first, you hope you show up in a good way. And then you're like, wow, it's cool. Look at my job. I can't believe I get to do this.
Right, right,
yeah.
Right. Do you ever... this show's broadcast on TV 4 hours live, and then they rerun it all the time in the afternoon. And it's cringe. Right. Like, I can't stand looking at it. Do you feel that way?
No.
No. You
is it professional production?
Well, no, I like me enough.
Right.
You know, what you really want is your kids to say, good job, Dad.
Yeah, they don't care.
No,
our
but
kids
my,
don't care.
Well, you know, my older boy, like, good job, Pops. You were good in that. Like, there'll be some stuff like, Dad, you were really good in that.
Uh-huh.
I love when they get surprised. My daughter, who's now in college, when she was a junior, she was at someone's house. And they're watching some movie, and she goes, "Oh my God, that's my dad!" Like it was Get Smart,
right.
And she'd never seen it. But she's, "Oh my God, that's my dad!" Which, you know, to me, I love stuff like that. Like, yeah, you have not seen Dad's entire canon. Right. Come on,
you haven't seen the whole catalog.
Come on,
right? So do you? So you live out in L.A. now?
Yes,
yeah. But he's a huge Chiefs guy.
Yes,
you
I
are?
Love the Chiefs.
Why?
I'm from Missouri.
Okay,
here's
sorry.
What I got. I was thank you guys. Wow, you're suddenly no longer my favorite.
Right.
No longer my favorite. Why? Yeah. It's like, wait, why? I could see why 10 years ago, but why now?
No, they're great. Of course.
I could be a bandwagon guy. I joined the club when I was 10 years old. I was in my grandmother's Christmas Day. I'm in my grandmother's living room. You know what I'm talking about? It's the Miami Dolphins versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Up to that point, the longest game in history. And my cousins were from KC, and we're all in my grandmother's living room watching the Chiefs. We lose the game, but I was like, wow, this is amazing.
So are you a guy that every Sunday you sit down and you watch the Chiefs? You have the Sunday ticket and all that?
Of course, of course.
All the games you gamble?
I don't gamble.
Why?
But just never, my kick. I never got a kick.
Not your thing?
No, I used to work in an off-track betting parlor when I was coming up, and I was just like, what are these guys doing?
Look at all these degenerates.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, so a lot of these guys are losing everything.
Yeah.
And a guy explained to me, I get a kick. He goes, I'll bet on these quarters. You want to bet right now? It's like, well, but it's not in me. It's not it's not my thing.
Have
you know?
When's the last time?
You've met all the guys, right? I've seen you like, from, pictures
oh,
like
yeah,
you
yeah,
and Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You like Mahomes?
Of course. Who doesn't? He's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's a sweetheart.
You don't like his brother, though.
You don't like his brother.
I bet his brother's a nice kid. Look, the poor kid. Look, he's a kid.
Yeah.
He's a kid. You know, God bless him. They're all trying. They're like, oh my gosh, I got to play with this toy. And so, look, I don't blame the guy.
He's an annoying
kid.
He's a kid.
I wish he would just go away forever.
Well, you know what? We all find our place, and he's learning his lesson. I'm guessing what he's going
When's
through.
When's the last time you went to Arrowhead?
Oh, well, so it's been a couple years, right? Because of the pandemic.
So you try and go to one game a year?
Of course. Well, we'd always do this charity thing with the Chiefs for Big Slick, which is a deal we do with the Children's Mercy Hospital there. We have a charity every year, every June. We do that with the Royals, myself, Riggle, Rudd, Sudeikis, and Stone Street. And this year we're adding Heidi Gardner to the list of hosts. But so we would have another opportunity for a fundraiser, and myself and Riggle would host a thing. A tailgate party, but we didn't weren't able to do that last year. I think I can't remember.
Can Jason Sudeikis believe the Ted Lasso explosion that's happened?
That's
unbelievable.
You can never predict.
Yeah.
I think you just have to enjoy. But he's a wonderful guy, and obviously very talented and so much fun. Very, very bright guy too. Which that's the thing I have a problem with.
Right.
I have an issue. He's clearly above intelligence.
Right.
And like, wait a minute. Now you're letting me know how dumb I am.
Right.
I know he's a beautiful human. I love Jason. And you know, George Wentz's uncle.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
But you know, Jason, of course, would have gotten there on his own. He's a sweet, wonderful human being, and I'm just very happy for his success.
Do you think he gets a piece of like my 5-year-old is obsessed with going to the Spirit Halloween store. And there's a zillion Ted Lasso costumes.
Is that right?
He's got a good agent. He's getting a piece
of
it.
Does he get a piece
you
of
hope
Ted
so,
Lasso
but
costumes?
Here's the sad part. You know, there's a ton of knockoffs.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
Yeah, well, but you know, whatever. I hope he's getting a nice taste of it. I'm sure there's a good taste somewhere. But he wants to be Ted Lasso, or you just saw it like they're all over the place?
No. My kid doesn't want to be Ted Lasso. I'm saying I've been to the store.
Got you.
And that is a very popular costume.
Did you let your 5-year-old buy his costume already?
It's a daughter. She has not. She changes like every.
I know.
Days.
So you.
She just likes going in the store looking.
Not your first kid.
Correct.
Yes. You learn. Don't buy the costume early. It's going to change three times.
Sure.
Correct.
And I'm going to be spending $70 three times because we're modern parents and we don't say no. And we don't realize. I told my kids at one point, you know, you're spoiled, right? And thank God they all said, yeah. I'm like, oh, good. And my older son. Yes. My older son, I'm very happy. My older son has had several restaurant jobs. And they were impressed, like, oh, my gosh, you work. Like, they're surprised. Like, well, he was like, yeah. Like, well, you're dead. You know, we know you're dead. So we just thought you probably wouldn't. So I'm very, that was my happiest moment.
Well, EB told a story once. Didn't your kids say no to going to a Nationals game because the seats were like in the front row and not in a box?
I can't remember, but I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
I get it.
Not in a suite. They don't want to go.
I get it. Well, yeah. They don't, but they don't understand. That's not work. That's like, wow, what happened last time I got this? If I got front of the line passes at Disney, I would never want to go again without front of the line passes.
Yeah, yeah,
and then
you
had to tell your kids that was a one time accident
because
I worked at ABC.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
No, we
were
on
Goldberg.
Yes. We went, I was able to get backstage passes to Post Malone because I had the same agent.
Oh.
Right? And then the kids go, oh, here's the next list of stars
concert,
I want to meet. Like, I don't.
Did you get to meet him then?
Yes.
Was he a good dude?
Oh, my God.
Everybody
the best.
Says he's a great guy.
The best.
Right?
But my fun interaction was with his dad. His dad comes up because his dad watched the Goldbergs, and my character on the Goldbergs is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. So his dad, who's like our age, comes up and gives me a hug. Tell me it's true.
Yeah.
Tell me it's true. Tell me you love the Cowboys. I'm like, oh, dude.
Chiefs.
So I know, right?
I'm an actor.
But, here's the thing. I love it when kids' dads come up. Like, kids will be out there looking and looking. Right, but the dad will come like, look, hey man, I don't want to bother you. I don't know who you are, but my kids love you.
Yeah.
If a dad comes up and says, "Will you take a picture?" Of course,
yeah.
You do it for a dad, right?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Are any of your kids in the industry?
My oldest boy is studying, to be an actor.
Oh, good.
He's halfway there because he's good looking. That's what I tell him. I said, "You're halfway there, son. You're good looking. The camera loves you. You've got to do the work."
In L.A.
Yeah.
Did you study? Were you
man. Yeah? I came up through Second City in Chicago.
Oh.
I told him. I was on stage 5 nights a week. Mm. You guys know the book Outliers, right?
Yes.
Malcolm Gladwell. 10,000 hours.
Right.
Go put your time in.
Right. So you were with all those guys. And who else was in Second City when you were there?
Oh, everybody.
Steve Carell, all those guys?
Well, me and Farley started together. Literally.
Oh, wow.
We're on the same class the same day. Farley, there's 10 names I could give her, 12, 20, that you don't even know, but they're writers or actors, producers and stuff like that. But myself, Carell, Colbert, Amy Sedaris, Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, Brian Stout, tons and tons of those.
Timmy Meadows. On the same day?
Yes.
And did you know the first day you met him, first second, this guy's brilliant?
Well, I used to have this thing like we all do in our heads, like, okay, am I keeping up with my classmates?
Yeah.
I took Farley out of the mean early.
You
like,
did.
This guy is an outlier.
Really?
This guy, like, I'm not going to compare myself to Farley. Because he was amazing.
Good
from
idea.
The start. I mean, I've never, unmatched commitment. Even to this day, I've never met someone with commitment like that. Now, someone might like to try to commit with, like, Farley. Farley's not making a mental decision to commit. It's already there.
In him.
Yeah, he's already there.
So
like, if you're playing football, if you're playing football, I'm crashing through the line.
Right.
It's a blitz. I'm not going to think about trying to squeeze through someone. I'm running through everybody.
Was he like that always? Was he always on? Like,
Did he ever have
a mellow time where, you know?
Well, later at night, we all we all wear out.
Yeah.
We got to pay bills.
Yes.
I checked to see if you could hang out for a second segment.
I would be flattered.
You can. It's David Koechner. You can watch him right now on NBC Sports Washington, but he's going to be at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House this weekend performing. Keep it here. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined in studio by David Koechner, actor and comedian. He is at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House throughout the weekend. Go to arlingtondrafthouse.com for all of your ticket
info. It's an awesome spot. You've been there before, right?
It's great. Yeah. It's great. Lovely room, lovely people.
And which day is the office trivia?
It's a Saturday afternoon matinee show.
There you go.
Yeah. So come on down. Or do you think you know something about The Office? Come and win this trivia contest. Come on, gang. I told Secrets off the air.
Yeah,
are you happy?
By the way, good stuff. Off
are you
the air.
Are you sated?
And I knew there was going to be something.
it's too ridiculous.
I know,
but it's not that salacious. It wasn't really
not
good
that
stuff.
Bad.
You missed nothing,
couple
folks.
Of them.
I know, but nothing more satisfying to you. Like you, like I knew
I
it.
I like it,
but not
because
not,
I had that vibe on one of the things you yeah, said. I had that
but,
vibe,
but not a real story. There was no real stories. Like, oh my gosh, you won't believe this.
Don't worry.
So you're not missing
anybody.
I got a question for you. How hot was Jessica Simpson? Right? Did you get
lovely human being?
Was she great?
She is, yes, she's been graced. She's been genetically graced.
There's no doubt about that.
Perfect way to put it, right?
Did you have a lot of scenes with her? I mean, Cooter had
we,
a lot
yeah,
of
we
scenes.
Had scenes in a tow truck. I do have a story about that in the show on at the Arlington Drive in my stand up.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That she does appear in a story. So I'll tell that one this weekend.
See, I missed all the good stuff. I was talking to Pete. Pete's a nice guy, but
yeah, you missed all the good stuff.
He wasn't that
good
much. Nuggets. But no, she's a lovely human being. I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of cool people. I once hung out in Willie Nelson's tour bus with Burt Reynolds. Now, guys, this is for us, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Burt Reynolds, Willie Nelson, Johnny Knoxville, me, a couple other people, and Burt's telling stories. And you want to talk about the best storyteller I've ever met in my life? It's Burt Reynolds. It's amazing.
Really?
I'll try and tell a really quick one.
Okay.
And I can't do the story justice because it's Burt Reynolds. He's talking about when he's shooting, it's 100 rifles with him and Jim Brown, Raquel Welch. And it's a big movie because there's never been an interracial relationship in movies at that point. And he realizes he's got to fight Jim Brown at the end of this movie, right? And so back then, these guys aren't just going to be buddies. Like, there's going to be real tension throughout this movie. So Burt grew up in the ocean, as he said it, and he said he invites Jim Brown the first day. He's like, let's take a swim in the ocean, like it's have a race. And, you know, they're both competitors. Burt Reynolds used to play college football.
That's right.
So he swims out.
But like he wasn't quarter, the like, best at
it. Right? Florida State. Yeah.
Like, he swims out for a quarter mile, comes back, beats Jim Brown by, you know, a quarter mile. Next day, and he thinks it's over. I'm in this guy's head. He said the next day, Jim Brown says, put your trunks on. Mm. And so they had to swim every day for 2 weeks. And he said Jim Brown got better and better and better until he beat him at the end of 2 weeks, right?
Unbelievable.
And Willie Nelson is sitting beside Burt Reynolds in the story and says, this is the story. I believe I would have lost on the second day. Could you? And I'm there in this bus witnessing this, like, this is the greatest moment of my life. I've never witnessed a storyteller as good as Burt Reynolds. It was just a grace and an ease and an amazing storyteller.
Do
I didn't
you
do it justice.
Yourself in those moments?
Yes.
Do you realize
yes,
at the time?
Yes. I was so happy.
Was there a big haze of weed
yes,
smoke on the bus?
Yes. And I was my heart was beating with anxiety. Like, I don't do this.
Right.
I can't do this, but I cannot pass this up.
Right.
This I'm going to have a moment.
Right. This is a reach, but do you think Sylvester Stallone or whoever wrote in Rocky III, the running on the beach scenes, stole from that story? Like, it's very similar to that story, right? In Rocky III,
I don't know.
Apollo takes Sylvester Stallone to run on the beach and kills him the first
then
time.
He finally beats
and
him.
And then he keeps working on it, keeps working on it, and by the end, Rocky actually beats Apollo Creed in a sprint.
Right.
Yeah, but this is a personal story, though. How could he steal a personal story?
Well, you change it.
I don't know if you heard that story. Could be.
I mean, he would have had to heard the story.
Correct.
It's very, very possible that he's met Burt Reynolds and had heard that story. That's a great. I don't think Burt would have said, you stole something from me.
No, I mean, he adapted it.
Yeah. Have I worked with Carl Weathers? You bring up Carl Weathers? Yes, I have. I've worked with everyone. Lovely. I love Carl Weathers.
What'd you work with him on?
The Comebacks. Yeah, but I love Carl Weathers, man. Last year we did some Comic-Cons and we happened to be there together. And Carl said, let's have dinner. So I kept going around the Comic-Con all day going, I'm sorry, guys. If anybody wants to have dinner tonight, I can't go because I'm going out to dinner with my buddy Carl Weathers. And people looked at me with such hate. They're like, what? I don't know this a-hole. Why does he stop?
Carl Weathers is such a good actor. Anytime I see Rocky IV and Drago is beating his brains in, mm-hmm. I get a creeper. I almost feel like crying that Drago kills Apollo Creed. Yeah. Carl Weathers.
He didn't want to come out of the ring.
Don't throw in the towel no matter what.
Is it impossible for you to watch? Like, if you went through, like, I'll often just sit on and just see what's on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Is it impossible? I mean, like, you see yourself all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm inescapable.
You're inescapable.
Yes, sir.
You're eternal.
Do you ever just go, like, stop and watch for a minute? I already know that.
I mean, well, I won't. Yes, of course. Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. If it's there, you're like, oh, look at that. Yeah.
Any of the old stuff that you love or.
I like most of my stuff. I'm not going to talk about stuff I don't like because I don't want anyone to not like stuff I like. There's a movie called Cheap Thrills that I want everyone to watch. I'm really good in that. It's a really good film. Not for kids. Listen to me.
Okay.
This is not a kid's movie. It's a great movie. but it doesn't get enough attention. Cheap thrills, but do not let it. Don't watch that with your kids.
Right.
It's not for kids.
You would be.
Did I say it's not for kids? It's not for kids.
You'd be. You're considered a character actor,
yes,
right?
Sir.
That's your deal.
Yes, sir. I consider myself a lead. I'm an actor, of course. I'm very pretty.
Way better, but like your career is so remarkable. Like if you're a lead guy, you might get a 5-year run or something. You got the way better deal.
Well, I will never end.
Yes.
That's for sure. Yeah. I'll work to the very end.
Right.
I'll work to the last.
And you still are interested? Do you ever turn down stuff because it's just not worth the hassle?
Okay.
I'm serious.
You looked at my IMDb. Do I turn things down?
No.
How many kids do I have? How many kids do I have?
Five.
Yeah. Do I turn things down?
Probably not.
No.
Never. Not that selective.
Look at my Piranha 3 Double D, sir. Do I turn things down, sir?
Hey, I'm going to ask you. Sir. I'm getting in your pockets.
Yes.
I'm getting in your pockets.
No, I'm sorry. My kids are already in my pockets. My ex-wife has already been in my pockets. You're going to finger my pocket.
I'm getting in line.
Yes, there's a hole.
What's the biggest paycheck from any movie?
Ooh, yes. Show?
Good question.
Anchorman 2.
Anchorman 2.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a nice one.
$25 million. That's a lie, folks. That's a lie. Everybody thinks you're in a movie, you're set for life. That is not the case.
All right, wasn't 25, but was it a mil?
No, I'm not going to give you the number.
Well, come on.
$0.25.
Do you spoil yourself with like fancy cars or anything? Boots?
Your boots guy?
Yeah, I noticed the boots. Are those super expensive? I have no idea.
They're less than you think.
They are.
These are Pura Uku. I got them from the Country General store there in Los Angeles, California. It's a showstopper of a boot. That's why I bought it.
Right.
But I've got more expensive boots than these, but that's what I spoil.
Are they comfortable?
Like?
Yeah. Are boots like that comfortable?
Yes, really? Very comfortable. I'm not going to walk around in a pair that hurt. I'm not. Well, I'm not to disparage women.
They look uncomfortable.
I don't know how women can wear.
Like
we
heels
all, we're
and
very
all that.
Appreciative that you wear heels, but why would you do it?
Right. Why would you subject yourself to that?
This hurts. Yeah. I'm not. No, thank you.
Talk to my wife all the time.
Do you have like? I just want to live vicariously through your crazy life. Do you have like a silly like media room at your house where you watch? No, you know.
Well, no, I live in a different my house. I don't own anymore. I gave that to somebody else happily.
Right.
Happily.
Do you have a pool at your house?
The house that I bought and paid for, that one has a house.
Not the one now.
I did treat myself to a 108-inch screen TV at the house.
Very
of course.
Nice.
Come on. Yeah.
How is that projector?
Always got to watch the Chiefs games.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's not a projector?
No.
You actually have a flat screen? It's 108.
Yeah.
Who makes it?
I think that one's a Sony.
A Sony?
Give me another one, Sony. I love your product.
Wow.
Yeah, I love your product. It's a beautiful TV, and I've got the four recliners with the cup holders and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you got to treat yourself.
Do you have a nice
bit.
Bar in the house?
I don't drink anymore.
Oh, okay.
You've probably read about me.
I can't come
You've read
to
about
your
me.
House, then.
You know, I don't have, because I had
Why?
Too many. But what? You're good. You don't know.
Actually,
I've had
I
a problem. Yeah,
I'm
very good.
Just asking you
but I'm on the right path. And
right, good
anybody
share
struggling,
something in common with the younger Jason Bishop.
1991, Ocean City, Maryland.
God bless. Yeah, man, get in the program if you got a problem.
I was in a Toyota Corolla.
Yes,
and Toyota Celica, and there was a guy pulls up at 2 a.m. pulls up at the light next to me, revs his engine.
Good Lord!
And then pulls off. And then I try to match him because I'm being stupid.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
And, of course, there's a cop sitting right there.
Yeah.
Right.
But only time. That'll never happen again.
There you go. Good. Good for you.
But you're right track. Right track.
The best path.
Man, we got serious.
You probably feel so much better than I do right now.
I tell you, I never regret waking up without a hangover.
Great, right?
We had a charity event last night, and I'm not feeling
too
great.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
too much. Yeah.
Too many cocktails.
Oh, well.
David,
right,
it's been a lot
get
of fun.
Tickets. How do people get tickets?
Arlington Cinnamon Draft House.
Come on down.
ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. That's the quickest way to get them.
Online. Comedy and stories, I got them. Office trivia, we got it, gang. Come on.
Awesome.
Fill your cup.
All right,
have a great weekend. Good talking. We're
going to shift gears. We will talk a little NFL with Jason Lockham, former insider from CBS Sports and Odyssey, right here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.